Today's episode is brought to you by the Clackamas County Fair and Rodeo, everything a county fair was meant to be. Coming to you August 16th through 20th, only in Canby. Tickets and information at clackamascountyfair.com or download the new app on Google Play or the Apple App Store. This episode is also brought to you by Oddmo's Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider delivered. Order today at 503-263-8444 or visit them online at oddmos.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This Canby podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. Republican State Representative James Heeb, who represents Canby, was arrested at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds after the Canby Rodeo late Wednesday night on suspicion of interfering with a peace officer and disorderly conduct. Clackamas County Sheriff's Office John Wildhaber confirmed the arrest and charges to Now Hear This Canby Thursday morning and said Heeb spent the night in the county jail. He was released on his own recognizance early that morning. Heeb, who manned the Clackamas County Republicans table at the fairgrounds this week while also appearing at the opening ceremony and other events, said the incident began when a woman outside the main pavilion asked him to put out a cigarette while he was waiting for a ride home. When he continued to smoke, the woman summoned deputies with the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, who serve as security for the event. Heeb, who has admitted to drinking a few beers that night, said he was unaware that smoking is not permitted at the fairgrounds, but he was standing far away from any crowds or other fairgoers. That whole area was empty, he said Friday. There were zero people in it. Heeb, who was wearing a campaign shirt with his name on it, said he disclosed to law enforcement that he was carrying a concealed weapon for which he has a permit. The officers relieved him of the weapon and put him in cuffs. Heeb said Friday he believes the incident was blown out of proportion. It's still kind of crazy. Something so small turned into an arrest, Heeb said. I never thought a lady upset about me smoking a cigarette would lead to all this. In hindsight, I didn't need a cigarette that bad. Heeb said his phone, keys, and other personal belongings were not initially returned to him on Thursday morning, and he had to walk back to Canby on foot, a distance of almost 10 miles. Witnesses of the alleged incident claimed the representative was visibly intoxicated, attempted to drive away in someone else's golf cart, and repeatedly told deputies that they could not arrest him while handing out business cards to bystanders. But Heeb has denied those details, blaming them on the rumor mill. Wildhaber also said he could not confirm, nor could he share, any specifics about the circumstances that led to Heeb's engagement with deputies and subsequent arrest. Heeb, who was appointed to replace gubernatorial candidate Christine Drazen in February, said he has received pressure to step down, including from House Republican leader Vicky Brees Iverson, as well as an outpouring of support from friends and constituents in the wake of the incident. Friday morning, he told Now Hear This Canby he does not plan to resign from his position or the current race for House District 51, for which he is the Republican nominee and is favored to win in November. A statement from Oregon House Republicans Thursday afternoon, as reported by Willamette Week, appeared to chide Heeb for the arrest. Today, leader Vicky Brees Iverson and Representative James Heeb spoke about his arrest last night in Canby, the statement said. Leadership team is disappointed by the events that led to his arrest and do not condone them. Leadership encourages him to focus on his family and to get the assistance he needs. The Clackamas County Fair and Canby Rodeo are the highlights of the summer events calendar for many of the vendors, exhibitors, organizers, entertainers, operators, and, of course, thousands of attendees who make it a success every year. But Canby is often circled on the calendar by those on the pro rodeo circuit as well, and one of the big reasons for that is the highly anticipated cowboy shoot at the Canby Rod and Gun Club. The event pairs rodeo cowboys, stock contractors, entertainers, announcers, and other folks from the Canby Rodeo crew with club members for a friendly trap shooting competition that raises money for a local scholarship fund. Now, in its 11th year, the event appears to be a unique one on the National Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association circuit and has become famous in pro rodeo circles. It's just a fun day, longtime Canby Rodeo board member A.J. Swaim said. It's a pretty busy pace this time of year for the rodeo cowboys, so this gives all of them a nice break from the routine. Cowboys are usually outdoorsmen too, so it fits in with what they enjoy doing. The shoot pairs 24 guests from the local and national rodeo scene with two dozen paying participants, typically rod and gun club members, retired rodeo pros who live locally, and avid trap shooters. The event is one that local club members tend to look forward to as well, Swaim said. It's always fun, he said. You get some guys who don't shoot much and some guys who shoot pretty well. Participants run through two rounds of 100, with the winners being those with the best cumulative scores at the end of the day. The competition is staged on Wednesday morning and usually takes around 3 to 4 hours to compete. This year's winners were St. Paul Rodeo board member Matt Wyzoff and local plumbing contractor Brandon Ayers. The club donates the clays, guns, shells, and the use of its facilities, while other sponsors cover lunch and other expenses. The shoot is the Canby Rodeo Association's largest fundraiser for its annual scholarship fund, which offers college and vocational scholarships of up to $2,500 to worthy local students, typically raising between $6,000 and $7,000. I used to rodeo back in the day, and it was always nice to be able to have a break in your routine, said Swaim, a national finals rodeo pro bull rider in the 70s. I thought it would be fun to give the cowboys that and to be able to give back to our community. For photos of this year's cowboy shoot, as well as our team's amazing coverage of the 2022 Clackamas County Fair and Canby Rodeo, visit canbyfirst.com or go to our Instagram page. CTV5, Canby's longtime public access cable television station, has announced a merger with Willamette Falls Media Center in Oregon City. The goal, the two public access studios said in a press release, is to offer more robust services to the Canby area. Willamette Falls Studios provides community resources for digital media by supplying the tools and training for Clackamas County communities to create and share ideas and topics that are important to their communities. Through televised local government meetings and community-based programming, the goal is to highlight the unique qualities of the region. Their services have been provided to the Clackamas County area for over 35 years. CTV5 has been funded through television franchise fees and local contracts with the City of Canby and other organizations, providing citizens with access to public meetings, local sports events, lifestyle content, and more for many years. However, the nature of television and streaming has changed, and CTV5's mission to provide robust programming has become a challenge. Due to legislative and funding changes and the closing of local cable broadcasters, the conditions under which CTV5 operates were altered significantly. As such, it became clear that working within a larger community framework like that provided by Willamette Falls Studios would better serve the community's needs well into the future. The studio said the merger will create efficiencies and combine resources to better provide access for the local community. Willamette Falls Studios' intent has always been to be the community hub for all communications within Clackamas County. In many ways, the merger of the two entities feels like bringing a big part of Clackamas County into the larger county program, said Melody Ashford, Willamette Falls Studios Executive Director. Willamette Falls Studios will continue to provide community services like broadcasting, city meetings, covering local sports and school events, and providing local citizens access to technology to create original programming. Ashford added that the studios are working to create relationships that will support local youth athletics, build a strong slate of community programming, and a variety of local access points that will allow the community to better access local media. Conversations with multiple local entities are in progress to land access points within Canby to make sure the community has access to the robust offerings Willamette Falls Studios offers. To ensure the city and its residents are included in the process of how Willamette Falls Studios engages with the community, there are open board positions available at Willamette Falls Studios. To learn more, visit WFMCstudios.org.
Hey, Tyler, we have a furry new friend that I wanted to show you. His name is Frankie with an I-E. Isn't that cute?
Oh, I get it, because you're Frankie with a C-K-E.
Yeah.
That's so clever.
I know.
The only cute thing I see on this video is me, because you're blurry and frozen.
What? No way. I just got a new phone, and it's supposed to have a great camera.
Dude, you can have the best camera in the world, but you still freeze up if your video calls don't have quality internet.
So what should I do? Frankie's playing in the pool and it's absolutely adorable.
I'm guessing you're using your mobile data for this FaceTime call, right? Just connect to your home Wi-Fi instead. I bet your video comes through just fine. You did just upgrade to Direct Link with Wi-Fi and fast upload speed, so you might as well get the best use out of them.
Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, hang on. There. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I should be on my Wi-Fi now.
Yep.
Can you see Frankie in the pool?
Oh, he looks like he's having a blast. See what fast upload speeds can do? For upload and downloads at the speed of aww, visit www.directlink.coop/internet or give him a call at 503-266-8111.
Frankie, give me back.
I'm Roz Mason. I'm running for Oregon Senate District 26. This is a rural district, and while our area has historically been seen as a Republican stronghold, this is simply no longer the case. A near even number of registered voters from both parties now live in our area, and the voice of independent and non-affiliated voters is critically important. I'm the candidate with the best track record of bridge building and working across the political spectrum. I'm committed to representing all people in my district. I show that through my involvement in public safety, the military, business, and agriculture. We all want responsible legislation and civility. In this race, your vote and involvement really matter. Join us at masonfororegon.com. Paid for by Mason for Oregon 21968.
All right, on the Canby Conversation today, we're so excited to be talking with Will Loomis. He is a professional rodeo cowboy ranked number 2 in the world in the steer wrestling circuit. Hey, Will, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for talking to us today.
Yeah,
out here competing at the Canby Rodeo this week as well. How are you liking it so far?
Yeah, Canby's nice, man. Canby's kind of like home, man. Canby's hot.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of nice to come. You know, all the trees. A lot of places we go in rodeo, it doesn't look like this. You know, it's not growing up with trees and everything. So it kind of reminds me of home when I come here. It's hot, a lot of trees, and it's always fun to come here.
So for folks listening to this and maybe don't know, but heard steer wrestling and were like, that sounds awesome. Tell me more. What is that? Tell us what you do at steer wrestling.
Man, the most basic, you know, that I can give you is just, you know, we tackle farm animals, you know. No, there's two horses.
Cow tipping on steroids.
Yeah, you know, yeah. More controlled cow tipping. How about that?
You score.
I'm telling you. I ride a horse. I've got a guy that helps me. He's called the Hazer. He also rides a horse. He keeps the steer running straight.
Yeah.
I slide off the side of the horse, grab him by both horns, and, you know, use technique, strength, finesse, whatever it takes, you know, to get him on his side.
You got to wrap him up. And they right?
No, that, no, that's not yeah, yours. No. Okay. So we don't tie them. No, we're just that's you know it's calf roping and stuff.
Gotcha.
So we're just they call us the linebackers of rodeo. You know, so we just tackle them. We get them on their side, and when all four feet are in one direction, they stop the clock. So fastest guy wins.
Yeah. You mentioned home. Where are you from, and how'd you get into this?
Mississippi. Yeah. I'm living about 30 minutes just south of Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
My uncle rodeoed professionally. My dad rode bulls, so it was always kind of a family thing for me to kind of start rodeoing. And steer wrestling really came natural to me. It was something that I just picked up on really fast, and I've always roped, and I grew up roping calves and stuff. And,
yeah.
But, you know, steer wrestling just kind of came easy to me, so that was kind of the way we went.
Yeah. Yeah, you found some incredible success. How do you get to the level that you've gotten? How does one get good at steer wrestling?
You know, it just same thing as everything else. You know, just like pro ball, you know, the guy that works the hardest makes it to the top, you know. So just a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of practicing. And, you know, when you get to ride great horses, you know, in the steer wrestling, we share horses a lot.
Yeah.
And so when you have a lot of good friends and guys that'll let you on good horses, it really makes it, you know, it makes it fun, but it makes it easy because all I have to do is do my job because, you know, the horse is going to do his. So that's always nice, you know. So, and I've always been blessed to be able to ride some really good horses.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, you know, rodeo is a very demanding sport. How do you kind of stay in shape, keep from getting hurt, and kind of survive the summers of rodeo?
For sure, you know, and the summer's tough. You know, I don't really do all that much, man. I like to I work so much when I'm home. I've got a steel fencing business, and so I stay in pretty good
shape.
I stay in pretty good shape. A lot of guys hit the gym and they're serious about the gym, and I've just never really found a lot of success, you know, at the gym. And I just I tell everybody I'm all natural, you know. So, I feel like as much as we practice, as much as I work, I stay in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
And then I do get pretty heavy, you know, by the time we get done with the summer, because we don't eat good. You know, we're out here, we're up and down the road, and we don't stay long. And so we eat a lot of fast food and stuff. So when I go home, I definitely have to try to get back in shape. So, so it's, you know, I'm melting here today because it's hot, you know, and I'm not in shape. So it usually takes me a month or a month and a half to kind of get back in shape when I get back home. And then it's, you know, we start over. So.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I've heard from a lot of the competitors come out here to Clackamas County, I tend to praise the stock that we've got out here, the ones that we get to work with. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it's a great rodeo, you know. Yeah. Over the years, they've got a good stock contractor, and you know, I feel like they have a standard, you know, and I feel like that's a great thing. So, you know, there's always good steers, good steers, good calves. You know, bucking stock's awesome. So they put a lot of time in it, but I also think that, you know, that Canby's grown this rodeo to a size to where it's on the map now and people know what, you know what I mean? It's not it's not just the little county fair rodeo anymore. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, I feel like, you know, the committee's done a great job and the town's done a great job of growing it to where it's recognized. And with the recognition, you get the, you know, the cowboys in the stocks.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we like to think that we're getting out on the map, but do folks actually kind of know about Canby? And are there things that people enjoy about, we're in Canby this weekend and kind of get excited about it?
Yeah, you know, up here rodeoing, that's Sid Steiner. He was the world champion in 2002.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But anyways, no, this rodeo's probably, I'm going to call it the second biggest rodeo this week.
Yeah.
Maybe splitting second and third.
Yeah.
So you've got Caldwell, Idaho, which is the biggest one that everybody goes to this week.
Yeah.
And then there's two directions you can go. You can go to Montana. There's three or four good rodeos go to in Montana. Yeah. You can come to Canby and then kind of go up to Moses Lake, Idaho. And, and then back to, Moses Lake, Washington, and then he's back down to Idaho. So it just kind of depends whichever direction you want to go. But, you know, definitely this is a rodeo that people look at when we're entering rodeos.
Yeah.
And consider going to, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Did you make it out to the trap shoot at all this morning? Is that something you do?
No. We were back. We were actually headed over here from Idaho.
So,
so we didn't make it over there this morning.
Yeah, I hear that's always a fun time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard big things about it, and I've always kind of wanted to go, but we're always trying to get over here and compete and then get out of here.
Yeah,
so
you gotta put that first.
For sure.
Yeah. What do you love most about competing and sumo wrestling? What's it like?
You know, I've always been I've always kind of liked adrenaline. You know, I'm an adrenaline junkie, and I'm a competitor too. Yeah. You know, number one, I think I'm a competitor, and I think sumo wrestling's a very competitive, hands-on. You know, we don't have ropes. We don't have, you know, it's a very hands-on event.
Yeah.
It's the
literally.
Only, yeah, exactly. You know, so we literally grab them with our bare hands. So, you know, that's awesome. And I think that's what I get out of it is really just the competitive nature of it. And there's so many guys out here now that sumo wrestle really good, and there's a lot of good horses. So it's really tough to win, but you know, that's what you crave as a competitor.
Yeah. One thing, and tell me if this is true, but one thing I noticed about Cambi, especially for its size probably, but it still keeps a lot of the kind of traditional elements that a lot of rodeos, because they're kind of maybe harder or more expensive to put on or whatnot, they've kind of pared down a little more. And Cambi still has, like, all these events. They still got the boot scramble with the kids, all that kind of fun stuff. But, is that something that you sort of notice about Cambi as well from other rodeos that you go to?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think they incorporate that really good into rodeos, and I think that's something. My dad puts on some amateur rodeos at home, and he does a lot of kid events. You know, we'll have, you know, like a chicken catching, and we'll have, you know, the boot thing, and you know, a calf scramble and that sort of thing. And I think it's, you know, that's awesome. Like, you can have a clown, and I think the clown's awesome. You know, he keeps the crowd engaged and everything. But I think it's nice to be able to bring the kids out, and and with that, the, you know, the parents want to come back because it was, you know, the kids got to be a part of it, and the sheep riding and all, you know, they, you know, that's what you see a lot of rodeos is the sheep riding, and then people love that, you know, because they're letting the kids get involved.
Seeing that next generation.
Yeah.
Rodeo's pretty big in Mississippi, I take it, or at least you're part of.
You know, it's not as big as a lot of places. But there's definitely a lot of talent. I feel like we are overlooked, you know, just because there's not as much talent as some places like Texas and Oklahoma and those sort of places. But I wouldn't live anywhere else. I love Mississippi.
You're here this week, at least for a bit. And then what's the rest of the kind of circuit and summer look like for you, Will?
Yeah, we're actually, we're headed to Kalispell, Montana tomorrow, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We'll be in Moses Lake, Washington, Friday morning, Gooding, Idaho, Friday night, and then back to Caldwell for the short round on Saturday. So, and then we're just, you know, next week's
on
big,
the road,
week after, after that's big, so.
Yeah, you must loving seeing the gas prices come down a little bit.
Yeah, for sure, you know, it's I think it's definitely, I mean, it's down a dollar or better, you know, so that saves us a lot.
Last thing I wanted to ask you, obviously I assume, you know, the COVID time was hard. Maybe you did find some places you could still compete, I don't know, or during 2020, that kind of stuff.
We, you know, we usually go to about 80 rodeos a year, and then that COVID year 2020, we ended up going to, I went to 45 rodeos that year. You know, I was talking about my steel fencing business, you know, earlier, and I actually started that with COVID because there weren't as many. I had to figure out a way to make a living, you know.
Sure.
I had to make
for
some
sure.
money. So, you know, there were still some good rodeos to go to. A lot of the big ones got canceled. But a lot of the, you know, a lot of the smaller kind of hometown rodeos were still, they, you know, they said, no, heck no, we're having our rodeo. And those were kind of, which it was nice because we got to go to some smaller rodeos that
maybe
put a lot of effort into it that we normally wouldn't go to, you know, so that was awesome.
That is cool.
So, yeah, we, you know, we got to see a lot of different rodeos that we've never been to.
You started a business. Did you find that it's sort of like, you know, I know musicians and other folks that it really impacted a lot. Did you find it sort of helped you kind of refocus or sort of kind of remind you what you love about the sport, anything like that?
Yeah, you know, I feel like starting that business, it gave me something else to focus on. And I feel like rodeo is so easy to, you know, I don't want to say
everything,
you know, I don't want to say addicted to it, but there's so many people that are addicted to it. You know what I mean? And it's and it's, you know, it's a lot of people call it a drug, and it is, you know, just the adrenaline and
the adrenaline.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you know, it was awesome. I never have gotten to where I just couldn't not rodeo, you know. But it was awesome to give me something else to focus on and something to build. And then, you know, rodeo became fun again.
But
I gained that, you know, the fun, the perspective that, you know, rodeo can, you know, it can go away at any time, you know. And I feel like a lot of times we take that for granted, but you know, it was awesome to kind of see that perspective and find something else to focus on.
Yeah, yeah. Will Loomis, thanks so much for talking to me today. Really appreciate you. Thanks for being here in Canby. Yeah. Best of luck tonight and for the rest of your circuit and season.
You bet, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, Tyler. Read any good books lately?
Yeah, actually, I'm reading a really good one right now.
Awesome. What's it about?
It's kind of complicated, but there's like these two kids with an absent parent, and then this mysterious stranger shows up with his sinister accomplices, and they just start wreaking havoc in their lives. I think it's like a Faustian metaphor.
Wow, that sounds really dense.
It is.
Interesting, though. Who wrote it?
You know, I think it's like a doctor, starts with like an S or something, Sass-sos.
Tyler, are you reading The Cat in the Hat?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to. It's taken me like 2 months to get this far.
Okay. Well, hey, whatever your interest or reading level, open the world of all things books at the Book Nook in downtown Canby.
Yeah, guys, this local independently owned and operated store is your one-stop shop for the latest releases and great deals on a huge variety of previously owned books, as well as games, art, and writing supplies and gifts.
They also do book clubs and game nights if you're looking for some fun, healthy activities right here in Canby. And hey, you know, for you, Tyler, they have a really expansive selection of children's books.
Oh, cool. Anyway, check them out on Facebook and Instagram, online at booknookcanby.com, or stop by 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue and let their friendly staff introduce you to your new favorite read. Hey, Frankie, why do you think I'd be interested in children's books?
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, okay.
Those of us who call this area home know there's just something special about the Clackamas County Fair. Maybe it's the livestock and agricultural displays where the farmers and youngsters who toil all year to work the land and feed our country showcase the fruits of their labor. Maybe it's the food. Hey, where else can you feast on a foot-long hand-dipped corn dog and a pile of ribbon fries the size of Mount Hood? And for dessert, homemade sour cream and raisin pie? A chocolate and vanilla swirl cone from the Dairy Women Red Barn, or for the purist, the one and only elephant ear. Maybe it's the long nights on the Midway, or the unmatched thrill of man against nature in the Canby Rodeo, or the inspired performances of musicians and entertainers playing for their favorite hometown crowd. Or maybe it's that sense you get as soon as you step foot onto the historic Clackamas County Fairgrounds and you realize we do things a little differently here, and are willing to work a little harder to preserve the things we love. Whatever it is, the Clackamas County Fair has got it, and in spades. Come see everything a county fair was meant to be, only in Canby, August 16th through the 20th. Tickets on sale now at clackamascountyfair.com or on the new Clackamas County Fair app on Google Play or the Apple App Store.
Right, can you just tell me your names and who you're with?
Yeah, Moses Barrett. I do a lot of the singing and guitar playing in the Junebugs.
Uh-huh.
And I'm Kyle Owen. I play drums and sing backup vocals for the Junebugs.
You guys are two-thirds of the Junebugs. Tell us what the Junebugs are.
We're a folk rock trio, and we like to put out good vibes. It's I had an old guitar player who always used to say, like a chicken on a Junebug.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like white on rice or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny, so when I was naming the band, I was like, the Junebugs. It was just kind of...
Is that like one of those great Southern metaphors?
Yeah. That boy was on that drink like a chicken on a Junebug.
So I grew up in Kentucky, and my favorite one that I always remember is busier than a one-legged cat in a litter box.
Wow, okay. Right?
Yeah,
that's good.
That's good.
First year at the Clackamas County Fair. How's it been so far?
It's been great. We love the Clackamas County Fair. There's a couple things that make fairs great. And one of them is a tent that covers the stage all the way.
Shaded.
Shade.
Yeah. Yeah. Shade. Yeah. Is just great. Sum it up as shade.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so it's such a great vibe, and it's a really great place to hang and play tunes. And so we've been having a great time.
Yeah. Your guys' music, I think, is a really good fit for our fair.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. We like to put out the good vibes.
Yeah. You do a lot of different events,
yeah? Yeah, I mean, we're, festivals, bar mitzvahs, weddings, whatever you got. Funerals. We'll play whatever you got. We would love to. We're full-time professional musicians, and because of that, there's a certain amount of hustle that comes with it. So we are very happy to be here, and we'll play anything.
And you're busy this week, right? You are pretty much holding down that rodeo stage.
We got
three
sets a day, 1:00, 3:00, and 6:30 every day of the fair. And we like it that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to be to kind of catch, because the fair evolves throughout the day, right?
It does. Yeah.
And so it's fun to see the fair at every bit of its stage, and be able to be a part of that as it moves through space and time.
To tell us a little bit about kind of your sets, the type of music you play, and how you've seen people respond to it.
So what we like to say is that we just play all the best songs.
Okay, there you go.
We have a very, very wide.
It's not a good song.
Yeah, exactly. We have a very wide repertoire, and it's everything from kind of classic Tom Petty, Van Morrison, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. To songs about meatballs written in the 1920s.
Okay.
To TLC, Blackstreet, and all that kind of. And basically what we do is we watch and see heads turn. And when people clue in, it's like, oh, so this was what this says is going to be.
Yeah.
And so you never quite know what's going to be coming off of our stage. And it is very much tailored to whoever's sitting in front of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't use the set list.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we just
never.
We have our bank of tunes, and then you just kind of call it and kind of roll that way.
That's
so
cool. Yeah. Is that pretty unusual for musicians?
I mean, yeah, I think so. I think most people like to have a plan of attack and knowing what they're going to go and play, which can be really successful because you can have a really polished set list, you know, and the tunes just transition really well and all that stuff. But it leaves the flexibility a little bit to be desired.
Yeah, but playing three sets a day, that you guys would be just bored on your just doing the same thing. So
there are some bands that'll do three sets a day, do the same set every set, and that is not what we do.
Absolutely. Do you guys have any original songs?
Absolutely, we have a couple albums of original music. You can all find them at www.thejunebugs.net, because it's the internet, not the intercom, kids. It kind of depends. When there's a party going on, you definitely want to serve the party. And when you see people kind of like listening a little bit more, a little closer, and you know that they're cluing in a little bit more, that's when you kind of slip in. It's like, oh, this is something that we did. This is something that we created.
Yeah.
And it's always really exciting when that happens, but it's not always the right time and place.
But we also consider ourselves an original cover band because all of our songs are arranged to fit our style.
Yeah.
And when we first started as a band, every show people come up and be like, those covers were great, but your originals, I loved them.
Loved your originals.
And we had no originals at the time. It was all covers. So we just arranged these covers to where they didn't know what we were doing.
Right.
So,
we'll take it.
So every once in a while, we'll sprinkle in an original if it fits the set.
Yeah.
And so people will get that, and they'll be like, they don't quite know the tune, but it's like, it's good.
Absolutely.
How does that work on the fly? You guys have like baseball hand signals? You're like, oh, we're doing that.
We actually kind of do. A lot of the tunes, I start on guitar.
Okay.
And there'll just be a way that it starts.
Okay.
And immediately Kyle and Nathaniel will know what's up.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'll look at Nate and I'll go raga daga daga daga, and then that's the whole tune, and we know what's coming next.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple songs that Kyle starts on the drums, and so we have to I just yell at him, and he.
Every once in a while, I just start them
and see if they catch on.
You're like 90% bad anyway. You catch most of it.
You get a false start every now and then. One of my favorite things for events like this and the type of music guys play is just seeing folks get up and dance and whatnot. Is that something that you see quite a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the children most of all.
Yeah, of course.
There's always a good kid dance floor going on. But yeah, I mean, it's tough in the heat.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty hot out here. But yeah, you definitely, exactly. We do love the shade.
And it definitely changes when the beer starts flowing.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So the 6:30 set and later is usually, is more dancers, more energy.
Not a lunch crowd type activity as much.
We're doing all the burn it down dance tunes at 6:30.
For sure. At 1 o'clock, the adults are not as, they're not as open to dancing in front of their peers. So you got to work a little harder to get them on the dance floor.
Yeah, but those 1 o'clocks, tend to be pretty busy from my seat. Those are the bigger crowds.
Yeah, it's because everybody's sitting down for lunch and relaxing, and
getting out of the sun.
And getting out of the sun. And that's where we can kind of play with anything from our set list. We can play the party stuff. We can play the kind of softer, sweet stuff.
Yeah.
Because people are just kind of in a, we just want to hang. We just want to have a good time.
Absolutely. Are you guys rodeo fans at all?
I
haven't caught this one yet. Yeah, but I love rodeo. I love a good demo derby.
We need to get one of those.
Oh man, it'd be so good.
A good time.
But yeah, the PBR and stuff. Because we do fairs. I don't know, like 10 every summer or so.
Probably.
So and everyone's got their unique take on a rodeo.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's fun to see those.
It is often. Yeah. Kind of tailored to the community a little bit. I think the one out here for sure is. Do you guys have a circuit a little bit that you kind of go around for the summer, or are you guys on the road, or do you just kind of commute?
Yeah, we're on the road a fair amount. We're we're out to Montana and Wyoming and Colorado, Colorado quite a bit.
Yeah,
But there's a big the cool thing about the fair circuit and the fair family.
Yeah,
is that they take care of each other, and so we go to these booking conferences with all the fair entertainment buyers, and they'll talk to each other, and they'll be like, "Hey, I got the June bugs out, you know, last week in August. Does anyone else, you know, want?" And they'll put together these routing that really makes it work for us.
Yeah.
In a way that it wouldn't work if they weren't working together, and so it's really cool to see the fair family talk to each other and take care of the people that are a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, and so we feel very lucky to be at Clackamas, to be at Josephine County, to be, you know, all these places that
and every state has, you know, their state fair.
Yeah.
And then every county seems to have a fair.
Yeah.
And if you think about that, for all the states, you know, especially in just the West Coast or the Midwest, like there's unlimited supply. And so it's nice to, we rotate every 2 years kind of between fairs. And so, you can be pretty consistent with work, which is great.
Yeah. Why do you guys do what you do?
Man, because we couldn't do nothing else.
Question of the day.
I mean, we both studied music in school, we've been doing it since.
Yeah.
I mean, I was doing it in fifth grade is when I started.
Wow.
You know, so
The drums.
Always the drums. Yeah. You know, and then I did some choir in high school, so that's why the singing is a little bit stronger in this band.
Yeah, you guys can't tell from the audio, but Kyle's over 100 years old.
So. It's amazing. I've aged quite nicely.
Yeah, he looks great.
I'm looking good.
But yeah, it's the road is hard, and it's not always fun.
Yeah.
And I think the people that are out there doing it are doing it because they can't really do anything else. Because there's certainly like easier ways to make a buck.
Sure.
That have you closer to home and with your family, and so when you're on stage and making music with your friends and looking out into an audience that's really connecting with you, like there's nothing. There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
And you know, once you get a taste of that, you're like, oh, I just want to do that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes all the 10-hour overnight.
Makes it all seem like nothing.
I mean, it's not like nothing, but it's certainly worth it.
And when you start to find a modicum of success, like you kind of like, well, can we do this? And and now we're like 10 years deep, and we're like, well, can't go back.
The resume looks terrible.
I can't put
so bad.
Ain't nobody gonna read that resume and be like, oh, so you played music for 10 years? Yeah. So what are you good at? No, that's it. So you need a drummer in house or what? So we're
on
just kind of
sales team.
The Intel doesn't need a drummer.
I don't know. If you
They do.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
By the way, Intel, we would love to play some corporate events.
Again,
if there's an Intel, the
John. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Again, do you tell us the website where folks can check it out?
www.thejunebugs.net at June B Music on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Check us out.
Awesome. Thank you guys so
yeah.
much.
Thanks so much.
Have a great rest of the fair.
You too.
Absolutely.
Oh,
They say all's fair in love and war, but that doesn't necessarily mean all's love in war and fair. Indeed, a war of words was fought in 1908 over control of the fledgling Clackamas County Fair, and Canby was the winner. The fair had started in Gladstone and was a smashing success, but enterprising folks in Canby thought they could do it better, and they had just the spot in mind, a beautiful 40-acre plot on the east side of town, on land once owned by Supreme Court Chief Justice Aaron E. Waite and still held by his descendants. Led by the Canby Development League Chairman R.S. Coe and 23 other league members, the town was ultimately successful in bringing the fair to Canby, where it would remain for the next 112 years, at least. A groundbreaking was held in late July of 1918 to begin construction on the fairgrounds buildings and a first-class racetrack, and it was a festive occasion. Local officials came out in droves to view the beautiful grounds and make speeches under a copse of drooping fir trees. The mayor of Canby, J.F. Mitz, had proclaimed the day a local holiday, and many downtown businesses closed their storefronts in honor of the momentous occasion. Canby Silver Comet Band met visitors at the old train depot, which I guess back then would have been the new train depot, and whisked them through a grand processional to where the ceremonies would be taking place. Numerous delegates from surrounding communities were there to, quote, rustle on the sidelines and make all the noise needed, as recorded by the Oregonian. Judge Grant Dimmock, whose later exploits would reveal him to be one of the most sinister rogues in the county's history, exhorted his listeners to do all in their power to make the fair a success by talking and working for the enterprise in season and out of season, according to the Canby Tribune's chronicling of the event. Another early fair booster, Professor Theodore James Gary, went even further. Mr. Gary advised everybody to boot up, and if we hear anyone talking against the fair, to take him out and hang him, or something to that effect, the newspaper noted. His remarks were timely and well-received. No hangings were recorded, but the work on the new fairgrounds came together splendidly. Out of the Waits family's rich farm and forest grew barns, arenas, stadiums, and outbuildings, some of which stand to this day. Unlike the 1907 fair, which had been headlined by a gaudy carnival from out of town, including a mask ball, Mardi Gras, freak show, and family feud-style contests, the centerpiece of the Canby Fair would be its sparkling new horse racing track. The half-mile racetrack has been placed in order during the past few days and is pronounced by experts to be one of the finest tracks in the state, the Oregonian declared. WH Council is directing the grader, steamroller, and sprinkler at the fairgrounds, and the racetrack will be in first-class condition. Cash prizes of up to $1,000 were awarded to the fastest horses, thanks to liberal contributions from Portland businessmen and across the state. Not that it was all about speed. Slow trotting was also a popular form of racing entertainment in those days, and several were scheduled for the three-day event. A 5-mile relay race for pupils of the local schools was also considered an interesting feature. Other prizes would be given to top show performers for horses, cattle, sheep, swine, poultry, vegetables, fruit, and all kinds of farm products. Awards will also be given for ladies' textile products, bread, cakes, pies, preserved fruit, etc., the Oregonian said. 50 special prizes will be awarded for the best of exhibits of every kind of farm, garden, or horticultural product. The most popular day was Friday, which had been designated Oregon City Day, something that had also been done in the 1907 fair. According to an earlier article, quote, the entire town promises to pay Canby a visit and enjoy the raptures of country life for a day. That might have been an exaggeration, but not by much. 3,000 souls visited the Clackamas County Fair that day, and almost a third of them from Oregon City, which in those days had a population of just north of 4,000. There were so many folks from Oregon City, a special train was on hand just to take them home at the end of the night. The attendance was far greater than was anticipated by the fair officials, a newspaper later recorded, and was due partly to the perfect weather and in no small measure to the fact that nearly 1,000 people came from the county seat to make a boost for Old Clackamas and her fine products that filled the big pavilion. The display of products of the soil were amazing in variety and quality, though not so numerous as the previous year due to a late frost. Nevertheless, the mammoth vegetables and luscious fruits grown by the family farms that thickly encircled the community and its fairgrounds attracted wide attention. The horse races, though, were widely considered to have been far superior to the previous years. There were more and better horses in competition, nearly 500 in number, and the crowds poured in from all directions to see them pound the dirt. The fair wrapped up with an exhibition baseball game, with a hometown team hosting the Spartans from Portland. With one of the night boys on the mound and pitching a no-hitter, the Canby Bats got hot and spanked the visitors 16-0, an old-fashioned thrashing. The fair had found its permanent home, and in the rich Canby soil, it was prepared to grow and grow. That, however, is a story for next time on Canby Then.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net. Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.